So, I told you last time there was way too much to try and pack into this idea of circumcision and the connection to the covenant. Last time we really connected it in regard to the Gentiles and the movement of the Gentiles. And then James makes this point, well, did not Yahweh call the Gentiles first? Was that not what he did when he called Abram? And we talked about the idea of opening the heart. And that's really in an act of repentance. He says, rend the heart and not your garments. And that the circumcision of the heart was most important. But I also said, for those who wanted to get a head start, that the same word, circumcise, refers to the fruit trees in Leviticus, when you were to plant the fruit trees. And so we're going to get to that today. So to some degree, it says, children of Abraham, the sons of Elohim too. We're just continuing that. To be honest, I don't have enough time. This morning I still was sorting through all the different stuff. So maybe it may be another week or he's going to save it for some other time. We'll see. We're going to review about 9 slides. So we're all on the same page. And then we're going to get to the actual fruit tree. So, really quick. Remember when we talk about covenant, we talk about Brit. And of course, that was a covenant, a pledge, an agreement, or a treaty. So that's the reality of an alliance, to be in league one to another. From bara, meaning to cut out, to cut off, to eat, to consume, or to choose. All of those deal with that idea in regard to covenant. And so we talk about covenant. We talked about the sign of the covenant being Shabbat, where we're cutting ourselves off from the world, we're resting. We're cutting ourselves off from the work week. The covenant was also going to be a eternal sign for us of the covenant. So that goes back to Genesis 17. This is 1 and 2. Again, when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Elohim Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. To be perfect, to be made complete. And I will make my covenant between me and you will multiply exceedingly. I'm just realizing, I don't know if you guys realize it before, that you realize that means Isaac was born on a jubilee, possibly. I mean, if Abraham was born on a jubilee, you're talking about 99 years going into 100. So you have 100 years of him changing. 17:3-5. Then Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is this with you, that you shall be the father of many nations, that you shall be Abraham. No longer shall your name, your identity be called Abram, exalted father, but your name shall be father of many nations, Abraham. For I have made you. And guys, that last part is very important. I have made you Abraham. See, we read that. They've already translated it for you. Oh, I've made you the father of many nations. But what he's done is he says, I made you Abraham. You were Abram, but I made you Abraham. All his work. He made that change. 17:6-8. Again, this is that phrase. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations from you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be Elohim to you and to your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. Now, all this is an inheritance that's supposed to be passed down. That's important to know. And the biggest inheritance is that last phrase, I will be their God. 17:9-10. And Elohim said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, through your generations. And this is my covenant which you shall keep, between me and you and your descendants, every male child among you shall be circumcised. Now, I talked about this last time, that while this deals with circumcision, this does not say specifically in the flesh, though it would apply to that. Meaning that every male who is going to be considered an Israelite shall be circumcised. That becomes the dividing line between who is Israel and who is not. We talk about the greatest circumcision was that of the heart on the inside. 17:11-12, and you shall be circumcised to clip or separate in the flesh of your foreskins. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations who is born in your house or is bought with your money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. 13:14. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. If it's not done. So what's intriguing here is Yahweh makes the point, you're either going to cut yourself off from the flesh now, or I'm going to cut you off because you are the flesh that I'm cutting off. You have that choice. Now, what's intriguing is how many times in Scripture does Yahweh say, if you don't obey my commandments, you will be cut off. Multiple times. I don't have enough slides for the amount of Scriptures that he said, if you've done this sin, if you broke this command, you will be cut off from my people, from me. So again, these are the key points last time. I put the ones I wanted to focus on in red. The one says, covenant equals the end of the exalted father and the birth of the father of many nations. This means a point of a change. And you can see the reality of being humbled. From going from being what's called an exalted father to being a father of many nations who's there to teach, disciple, care for. Yahweh's promise that he would make him fruitful. And that would be in multiple ways. There's so many layers to that. Fruitful with many children. And boy, was he fruitful, even past 100. Fruitful in the reality of blessings. He had so many blessings, he was giving gifts away to his other children, which no doubt were major blessings, but then he had a huge inheritance to still give Isaac. And of course, the other part I wanted to focus is not circumcised, you're going to be cut off. And we're going to get to that literal. Yeshua makes a point of this later in a different way in regard to a tree and a vine. And Paul does the same. So that leads us to Leviticus 19:23, and this is our main topic today. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you, and you shall not be eaten. Verse 24 and 25. But in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to Yahweh. And in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Now, it's intriguing. It's almost like Yahweh's making a point. When you go to plant fruit trees, and guys, I don't have time to get into this connection. Do you realize that Yahweh went and planted fruit trees at one point? Was there not a fruit tree that was not supposed to be eaten of? Right? Was there not that tree? That command to not eat of that tree may not have been an eternal command. It may have been temporary. There may have been a few years that have passed that tree might have been acceptable to go and eat from. In fact, again, I don't have time to go through and back all this up. That tree may be the reality of all of Torah. The tree of knowledge of what? good and evil, right? And when we come to the Acts, are they supposed to go and just go and observe all the commandments at one time? No. One commandment at a time, right? Do you think Yahweh does the same thing with us? He does. He does. And by the way, we're going to get to a moment. We are made of the soil of the earth. We're also considered a tree. Both are metaphors in Scripture comparing us. Hold on to that. All right, so key points. When you come into the land, now my point there is it's a change, meaning Yahweh has led you to a place. When Yahweh leads you to a place, that's a change. And Yahweh's leading you in that process. New tree's fruit is uncircumcised. Do not eat it. In that first few years, it's not for you to go out. And I make a point of this to hear Ariel. You may know it or not know it. Any new person that comes in Ariel, I see them as a new fruit tree. And their job when they come in is not to teach, nor to come in and start ministering. Their job is to come in, to sit, to enjoy, and to learn. To allow prayerfully through the truth that the soil will be so enriched that we would be able to encourage you to get your roots down into His Word, that you would produce fruit for Him. That's the whole goal. And that takes time. It takes time for that to happen. The fourth year is holy. That'd be like first fruits. Only Yahweh could be given those fruits. Or to a priest. Only them. Fifth year, we may eat of it. And it makes a point of, and so it may yield you the increase. And I think of that increase as that huge blessing that comes, right? More than we can somewhat understand. And that's not all. We want to make blessings a lot of times physical. I need you guys to hold on to this one truth. This one truth is a very important truth. If we count all the physical things as our primary blessings from Yahweh, you will feel like Yahweh keeps taking them away and giving them to you. The great blessings He gives you are His peace, a relationship with Him, His truth. Those can't be taken from you. His promise is that, you know what? You may not have that house forever. You may not have that car forever. If we hold on to that one thought, I promise you, it takes a huge burden off and a huge question out of our mind when things happen like that. Why? Things to consider. Circumcise your heart equals not being stiff-necked. That means that in this change, it starts by saying, I'm willing to change. Goes back to what Rick was saying regarding us being gold. Are we willing to go into Yahweh's hands to be molded and changed into something else? Remember, it talks about Abraham. I made him Abraham. He was Abram, but I made him. Rend your heart and not your clothing. So this point of circumcising starts with a point of repentance. That's where it's going to start. Fruits are outward expressions of the soil and the root system of the tree. I need you to think about that for a moment. So, if the tree has really strong roots, if that tree has really good soil, we will know when we taste of that fruit. So realize, to some degree, what we're saying here is that soil is somewhat representative of our heart, and the fruit is representative of our deeds. And I just said that. Our actions. So let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now watch this. It says, in those days, John of the mikveh, it's always hard to figure out what you're going to put in that place, came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now realize what John's doing is he says, it's time to circumcise your hearts. Repent. Rip them open. Be willing to change. Matthew 3, 5, and 6. Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around Jordan went out to him, and they went into the mikveh by him in the Jordan, doing what? Confessing their sins. Rending their hearts. Ripping their hearts. Matthew 3, 7, 8. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his mikveh, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, what? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. It's an interesting phrase. He's connecting fruits with repentance. The repentance has some regard of a new start, and that would be the beginning of new fruits. Matthew 3, 11 and 12. I indeed mikveh you with the water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will mikveh you with the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. And he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. It's intriguing because he talks about this idea that he's going to gather in the harvest, right? And he's going to separate the harvest, that which is his and that which is not. Listen to this in regard to Acts chapter 15, 7 through 9. And when there had been much dispute, Peter arose and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago Elohim chose among us those by my mouth, the Gentiles should hear the word and the good news and believe. Now guys, that believe goes back to Abraham what? He believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Elohim, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit. Just as he did to us and made no distinction between us and them. What was the purpose? Purifying their hearts by faith. So this point is repentance is the opening of the heart for his Ruach to come into our heart. But that heart process, the mikveh of the actual spirit, is a process of purifying our heart. In some regards, enriching the soil out of which the fruits come from. Well, where does Yahweh start? Because if Yahweh is going to make an Abraham from an Abram, he has to start from somewhere. Well, Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways. Now watch what he equates with ways. According to the what? The fruit of his doings. He is judging you in regard to the fruit that you produce. Connections from Genesis 15. I need you to hold on to these because you're going to see them as we go. I couldn't put every quote up there. Abraham believed, and that equaled what? Righteousness. Good. I am Yahweh who brought you out of Ur to what? Inherit this land. So there's a point of inheritance that's being passed down. How will I know I can inherit it? That's Abram's big question. And to translate that for us, how can I know that I'm going to actually live up to the standards Yahweh has given to me? I mean, my goodness, holiness? I know me. Holiness? I fall more often than I'm walking. And so I can understand Abram's question. How will I know I attain this? Or can I? it's interesting, he has them do what to the animals? Cut them. That's part of the covenant. What's intriguing is the vultures come to try and mess up, to make what's clean unclean. Because the vulture starts eating those carcasses, then those animals, which are meant to be a sacrifice, and I'll show you the sacrifice in a minute, actually become tainted. That's the whole point of these vultures, these birds flying in on this offering, right? But in a very small way, do you guys realize what they're really doing is trying to steal away the covenant that Yahweh's trying to make with Abram? All right? And don't lose that the birds are flying in for that purpose. Now, I told you that this is an offering. Well, guess what? Yahweh had Abram go into a sleep, and then a fiery torch and a smoking oven passed through. Well, let's realize, if all these animals on the ground and a huge fire goes between them, all those animals would have been burned up. Almost, I get this feeling, even though the fire came from the heavens when Elijah did the offering, when this fire passed between those animals, there's no doubt those animals died. I mean, not died, they were already dead. They were burned. They were burned. What's intriguing is, I didn't notice this before, but a fiery torch in a smoking oven goes back to a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke. Both of them would pass through. Yahweh works through his spirit. That's the process in which he always does. That pillar of fire and pillar of smoke led the people through the desert. And in the end, if we're all honest with ourselves, the spirit is still leading us today. And boy, do we know that desert well. Listen to this. Jeremiah 31:33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their what? I will be their what? Elohim. And we have people. Remember, Abraham's blessing is that the inheritance, the big one, is I will be their Elohim. And look right here. I will be their Elohim. Now, guys, that means that he's putting the law in our minds and writing on our hearts. That means that Yahweh's words that the Spirit is placing in our heart are actually changing our heart. Just by us letting them in. Just like the reality, today we want to fertilize the soil, we go out and buy a fertilizer, right? But more likely in the past, it was you would take scraps, the food, whatever, and you'd go out, you'd place it in the ground, and it would die in there, and that death would become the nutrients for the soil. All those words are meant to be nutrients in our heart. He's writing it there. Well, if you haven't figured out, we were going to Matthew 13 because I believe this is where Yeshua is really trying to bring a lot of these connections together. So Matthew 13:3-6. And behold, many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed by the wayside, the birds came and devoured them. And then some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Matthew 13:7-9. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 30, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now realize, when you see that phrase in the Gospels, you can really cross that phrase out because the Hebrew phrase that's trying to be translated is Shema. So when he says that, it's like, hear and be ready to what? Do. Right? Hear it so you can do it. Matthew 13, 18, 19. This is Yeshua, I believe, starting to clarify. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that was sown in his heart. This is the one who receives the seed by the wayside. Now, this seed on the wayside would be like, we talk about there's two paths. There's the well-walked path that's really wide, and then there's that very narrow path that goes to a single gate. We're talking about that very well-worn path. This ground is not cut open. The seed may hit it, but there is no place for it to actually get into the ground. So what you have here is an uncircumcised heart. The soil is the heart. The seed is the word. The birds that are coming, who are trying to steal it away, are the enemy, or is the enemy. Just like the vultures were coming to destroy the covenant between Abram and Yahweh, so HaSatan is coming for the same purpose. Matthew 13, 20, 21. That he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. I got that in red. You're going to see it later. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. When the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now it says that Yahweh is going to test the heart. That's what he says he's going to do. So the point here is that he's gone ahead and you have the word great, but you know what? What are you going to do with it? See, I don't know if you know much about trees, but trees have two kinds of roots. One type of roots are actually, the whole purpose is to go parallel to the surface of the earth and get out usually about the same distance that the branches go. Purpose to gather as much water as possible and nutrients. Right? So those are the first roots. Right? But there's another kind of root. And that kind of root is called a tap root. And that tap root's whole goal is to get as far down as possible and anchor that plant. So no matter whatever comes, that tap root is going to keep it up. Well, that taproot is the reality of us actually studying and getting into His Word. If we don't study, if we don't actually get into His Word for ourselves and get that root down deep, guess what? And so most people didn't realize this, and I didn't realize this. I only thought the enemy came one time in this parable. But I want you to realize the enemy comes three of the time. Probably four, we're just not mentioning the fourth. See, when tribulation or persecution arises, then we lose the word and it's stolen. Why? Because we didn't get down and get that root in the ground. Remember, that's the whole goal. Got to get it in our heart and actually start to practice forth with it. Practice it. Matthew 13, 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. In this regard, these thorns could possibly be from an actual vine that's not been tended. Pruned. And so if we were a vine, right? And I don't know about you, but it never feels good to be pruned. We realize after the fact how great it was, but it never feels good to be pruned. And so if we're being pruned, but everything around us is not, and the weeds there seem so good, and we're keeping our eyes on all those wonderful thorny bushes going, they don't need to be cut. They don't need to be cut. They don't have to go through this. They don't have to be holy. They don't have to not work today. They don't have to do all these things. We're focusing on all those things. Just like the enemy did the first time, he says, instead of focusing on all the trees that Yahweh can you can eat from? Let's focus on the one tree you can't. Right? So instead of counting blessings, we're completely, our whole mind is focused, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's not fair. I can't do this. I want to do this. Same idea. And guess what? Deceitfulness and riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Doesn't mean that it dies. It becomes unfruitful, which means it probably becomes a thorny bush, just like all the rest. Matthew 13:23. He who has received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. Remember when it talked about after the fifth year you would be able to yield the what? The increase. This is the increase that's mentioned. But you have to wait for it. And guys, again, a lot of people are like, oh, you're going to wait for all these wonderful blessings, a new boat, a new house. No. The new blessing is that you have peace for 3 more days when you go through tribulation. The new blessing is that you have a little more joy when you went through that hard time. The blessing means you had no issue of anxiety that one day when everything was going wrong. That's the blessing and the huge, bountiful blessing that comes into our life. Not the rest of the stuff. Though those can come too. Key points. Our heart is soil. Number one, the soil needs to be open to accept the word. If it's not circumcised, if it doesn't humble itself, the word can keep hitting it. And this speaks of that wide path that everybody tramples on. The next path, well, its heart is open, but there are two issues. There are rocks, and it doesn't have roots. Right? Those rocks are other things in the life. You're only letting the roots only come into part of your life. Meaning it's like, I've allowed Yahweh in, but he can have a little corner over here. He gets the corner office, I get the... In regard to your home, he gets the little office room, and you get the master suite. Right? Same idea. Exact same idea. So the point being here is the rocks become a hindrance because what's happening is you're not allowing them to actually break down and become soil. You're letting them stay rocks. You're letting them be the same. So part of you is changing, that's the soil, but the rock is not. And you're not giving the roots. So you jump up going, Yahweh's word's great. But you don't do anything. Remember Shema, hear to do. You heard it, you accepted it, great, but it's sitting there, it's not going anywhere. The next one was weeds. And I already talked about this in regard to Adam and Hasatan. The next parable, and I don't have time to get to it, is the tares and the wheat, where the crop goes out, and he plants the crop, and then the enemy comes in at night, and he plants a bunch of seeds of the weeds, and it comes out and goes, what happened? Where did all these weeds come from? Oh, the enemy must have come in. Do you realize the first weed was planted in Adam's heart? When he accepted the point of view from the enemy and through Eve? When he added to his word? Because those weeds are lies. So the point being is, Hasatan comes into the garden, and I don't think Yeshua is accidentally going to the garden, planted seeds, great, ready to go, and among them he plants weeds. Right among. Sort of ties into what Rick said today in regard to Esau and Jacob. Right? We see in Esau, and it has nothing to do with specifically him, the person, is someone who's unyielding and not willing to change. We see in Jacob someone who goes through drastic change. And did he make all those changes in his life? No. Yahweh did. He's like, you know what? You seem to have a problem with deceiving people. Let me let you go off and And let me let you be a servant of Laban, the great deceiver, so you can understand what it feels like. I mean, when you see and feel, see what you've done to someone else, you're going to realize that you need to change. The good soil made of deed, dead seeds. The reality of dead soil, a good soil, is that there are going to be years and years where the seeds went in and the actual seeds died and didn't produce anything. But the death of that seed, no matter, and this is where a lot of people get lost, I truly believe these four grounds are an evolution. And what I mean by that is, all of us, we were the path at some point. We heard the word, yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Had no meaning for us. Bounced right off us. But there was a point that Yahweh developed us, right? And the seed got in. And we've gone through some rocky times, right? And we were ready to give up on them, right? Only because His grace that we're still here, right? And we've had thorny times in our life. We're sitting here going, how come everybody else is fine? How come I'm going through this? The reality of those soils is that we've all been through it. We're probably going to go through it again, depending on the situation we're dealing with. But that good soil is good because it has a lot of seeds. That's where the nutrients came from. But those seeds had to die in them to produce. But we had to let them in first. John 15, 1 and 2. Yeshua says, as He is the Word of God, I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that He may bear more fruit. So what's the purpose of pruning? To bear more fruit. He's cutting away part of you that actually is starting to die. It's not producing. And so what happens is, by pruning, then all of the nutrients that are coming in that plant now are being taken to a place to actually start growing, where before they were being siphoned off, divided among these branches, of which part of that branch that took a third of the nutrients, it was dying anyway. It was wasting those nutrients. He's cutting that away. 15:3. You are already clean. Why? Because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, I find that intriguing. This is a great verse for a whole nother study. Because remember, in regard to Peter and his vision of the animals coming down, that which is clean and unclean, it's the Word of God that makes us clean. Right? That's what happens. That's the purpose of it. I have made you clean. I have made you Abraham. John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in Me, the Word, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without Me you can do nothing. And that goes back to, guess what? This is talking about that root getting down into the Word, right? Getting into His Word and listening to do. Shema. John 15, 6. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they are gathered them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Now this idea of cast out starts off with the branch actually being cut off. It's not bearing fruit. It's cut off. Now wait a minute. Didn't Genesis 17 talk about something in regard to circumcision, a covenant? If you're not circumcised, you're going to be what? Cut off. Withered and dead. Now, the point of this actually is meant to actually be a lesson for us, going, oh, you thought you were great, you thought you were wonderful, let's see what you're like without Yahweh and His Word. Now, there's a blessing, Because you know what? He who can cut you off can also put you back. John 15:7-9. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples, my students. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. 10:11. If you what? Keep my commands, you will abide in my love. He says, I've kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things I have spoken, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. If you go back to that parable, it talks about the one who's in the rocks. And it says, he just shot up with joy. But then his roots didn't go any further. I wonder what happened to that joy. It went away. It went away. Key points. If you open your heart and allow Yahweh, through his Ruach, to write his words on your heart, then he will prune you. He will cut. If you close your heart to Ruach, then he will be cut off. Realize there's no choice in the cutting. You're either going to be cut or cut off. There's no choice in this. And it all deals with fruit. Our outward deeds. But the deeds are only produced if the word is in us. And if we stay in it. Remember, the word's actually changing our heart from a ground that can produce nothing to a ground that produces huge amounts of fruit. Romans 11:16-17. We're coming to the end. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump also is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted among them, and with them became partaker of the root, in the fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18-20. Do not boast against the branches. If you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And you will say then, branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of the unfaithfulness they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Meaning, guys, this goes back to a simple phrase we say quite often. I am saved by grace through faith. All right, so guess what? Saved by grace. Grace, is that something from you? No. All right, so the first most important thing, you're saved by grace, is something Yahweh gives you. Through your what? Faith. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him righteousness. So, it goes back to, do you believe it and are you doing it? Are you? Are you listening to do? And have you been done going, I've listened enough, I've done enough? Because I promise you, there's never a point. Romans 11:21-23. For if Elohim did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of Elohim on those who fell. Severity, but towards you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. They also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for Elohim is able to graft them in again. Galatians 5:19-21, my last few slides. So I wanted to talk about fruits. How do we classify them? Which side do they go on? What do they look like? Those are deeds or ways. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the fruit of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, as I also told you in the time past, those who practice such things will not, what? Inherit the kingdom of Elohim. They don't get the inheritance. What's intriguing is some of those Pharisees and Sadducees were coming down, and I didn't put it up there. I wanted to. I just didn't have time. They say, but we're sons of Abraham. And Yeshua's answer is yes, and the axe is ready at the base of the tree, and it's ready to cut. You say, well, I was born of Abraham, and that's enough. It's not. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is what we should look like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's usually not one we pray for. That's usually not one we're praying for. Oh man, I want the fruit of long-suffering. The fruit of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no teachings. And that's a better translation than that one. Because Torah in Hebrew is teachings. There is no teachings against any of all of those things. None. Now, I brought this back. So, here's what happens. All these people from the nations, does it sound like, you know, they're wondering well, what to do? You know, I got this guy Abraham. He wants to follow Elohim. What do we have him do first? Well, they're thinking about this. So, isn't it interesting? The first thing that they have them do, the Gentiles, is stay away from the fruits of the flesh. Abstain from things that are polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. First thing he has them do, stay away from the fruits of the flesh. But isn't it interesting? For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in synagogues every Sabbath. With the goal that, and they will hear the word and be planted in their heart every Sabbath. And we will believe that Yahweh's word will change their hearts just like he did in ours and in Abraham's and every single one that came in between. Now, last promise, last two slides. We read this one already, Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Right? How many of you know the verses before that verse? Don't raise your hand. Actually, all right. I'm good. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh, whose hope is in Yahweh. He is like a tree planted by the waters, who spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. By the way, heat is spoken of in regard to that plant that didn't get the roots down the ground, and it died. But its leaf will be green, and it will be not anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. This is the man or the woman who's planted in the reality of what his word is. Now guys, I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot of truths in there and a whole lot of connections. These are my conclusions. And I can't put them all up there, but let's go. Soil equals heart. Repentance is opening the heart, which means starting with the bearing of the fruit of repentance. That's where it all starts. The Ruach writes Yahweh's word on your heart, turning it from the wicked path to the stony ground, to the thorny ground, to the good soil. Studying his word deepens our roots. Yahweh's breath and word help us attain the inheritance promised to Abram. That every one of us that follow the Spirit are called sons of Elohim. Because that's the great inheritance. And every one of us is being changed from an Abram to an Abraham. Every one of us, and you can hear Yahweh speaking, I don't know to you, but I can hear him speaking to me, I made you Abraham. I made you who you are. And boy, are we blessed. Baruch Hashem. Yevarech Yahweh Vayishrech. Ke Yahweh Tibendege Tibeteha. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yar Yahweh Echa. Ke Yahweh Agasu Rostro Spendeser Sobete Ite Otorge Simendad. May Yahweh's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisi Yahweh, Ponevedecha, Yisem Lecha Shalom. Ke Yahweh Muestre Su Rosho Sobeti Ite, Concede Su Paz. In Yahweh's face, when it turns towards you, may He give you peace. Shabbat Shalom.